This morning's scripture comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verses 15 to 24. When one of those at the table with him said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast of the kingdom of God," and Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field, and I must go and inspect it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to the master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still more room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" Our second scripture for this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 25 through 27. "All of this I have spoken while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you once I am gone. Peace I will leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid."
Peace works. This is the theme at camp this summer. The curriculum we generally use at Camp Blue Diamond is from Inside Out, or called Inside Out, and published by Chalice Press, but developed and written by camp people from a number of different denominations, including the Church of the Brethren. Each day, there's a theme inviting campers to think about peace and peacemaking from a different perspective, using words from different cultures. And the goal is to offer tools that will help campers as they go home to be peacemakers within their own communities. Day one, that's today. At 4 o'clock it begins as the youth campers pull their cars in and begin getting out of their cars. They will be welcomed along with their parents with aloha. Welcome. We're glad you're here. You have a place here. Words that we all would like to hear when we're entering into a new and unknown community. Stone Church takes this seriously enough to take several months to write a welcome statement and then to truly be welcoming. It's an invitation for all are welcome. So as we consider the parable of the great banquet read earlier, we hear words of welcome and hospitality. In this passage, Jesus reinterprets the entire tradition of table. So the master invites specific people to the banquet, and when the meal is prepared and they're invited to come, they have all kinds of excuses. "I bought a cow. I just got married. I have fields to tend to." There's a song, we could sing it, we're not. And in a way, then, Jesus throws shade at those offering excuses. But what I love is that Jesus doesn't just, or the master, doesn't just put everything in the freezer to eat later or throw the food out. Instead, the master says to his servant, "Go into the alleys, go into the back roads, invite everyone you see to come. Invite the poor, the lame, the crippled." And they do. And they come together and they sit at the table. This is a parable of radical hospitality, one that is completely upended by involving the marginal, the lame, the blind, the poor, the immigrants, those dealing with mental illness, those who are physically challenged, those who are voiceless, those who are forgotten. All have a place at the table, and the invitation has been extended. Come, sit, and dine. Janet Walton explains that a meal then and now is a ritual that embodies memory, imagination, power, encounter, freedom, relationships, presence, and blessing. It is an action in which the community celebrates its covenant connection with God and with each other. Honestly, it's a Lisa lunch, isn't it? That's what we do when we come together around the table. Can you picture Jesus as the one going out into the streets and yelling, "Aloha"? Can you imagine how that would sound and feel to societies forgotten to be summoned to the table? This radical aloha holds a dynamic energy that makes everyone feel respected, welcomed, and loved. Jesus wants the house to be filled with the very essence of aloha. This parable points to a radical hospitality that goes beyond being polite. It goes beyond the ordinary and exemplifies a level of inclusion that could even be described as revolutionary. It's amazing to think that our welcome, our hospitality, could turn the world upside down. Such hope is heard when we greet, welcome, and exclaim, "Aloha." It's a part of how peace works. The next day, and this is my favorite, we talk of Ubuntu. Ubuntu is a philosophy that embraces community, unity, and interdependence. Though it is generally considered to be a philosophical thought from South Africa, the idea is expressed in many of the Bantu languages. Its meaning is described this way: a person becomes a person through another person. But when I'm talking with children, I like to say, "I am who I am because of you. And you are who you are because of me. We are who we are because we are together." This defines our humanity and how we're interconnected and share our gifts with each other. 1 Corinthians 12, we read about the body of Christ. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all of its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Peace works when we live in the spirit of Ubuntu. We are all members of God's family. We're all children of God, called to mix our distinct gifts and that will complement and expand the potential of all. I am who I am because of you, and you are who you are because of me. We are who we are because of each other. This understanding of Ubuntu is reflected in a writing by Desmond Tutu. He writes, "We are human because we belong. We are made for community, for togetherness, for family, to exist in a delicate network of interdependence. Each person is not just to be respected, but to be revered as God's image. To treat one such as if they were less is not just evil. It is veritably blasphemous, for it is to spit in the face of God." Those are hard words to hear, and yet to be taken seriously. For peace works when we live in community with each other, when we recognize one another's gifts, when we grieve when one grieves, and we rejoice when one rejoices. But what about the conflict? Conflict really does happen. Where's peace when we just really don't get along, when we don't see eye to eye, when we really don't like each other, when we want to avoid each other, when we don't want to live in the same community? Conflict happens even in the most well-meaning of communities. Conflict happens in our families. And so we look to the next word, which is shalom. Shalom, or peace, is one of the most beautiful gifts we can offer to another person. Like our historic brothers, our historic Jewish brothers and sisters, we carry this sentiment of peace to freely give and freely receive from one another. We know that living in a way that allows the sharing and receiving of shalom is a challenge, yet it is our call. The peace we share with others can have a profound impact, and the peace that we fail or refuse to share can and does lead to broken relationships. We can be the source of great inspiration and healing, or we can perpetuate the cycles of brokenness. The Bible and our world is full of people who have orchestrated in the shadows to bring about positive change. There are people working for justice that we'll never hear about. These people are in our own congregation, people who use wisdom, ingenuity, gifts, talents, prayer to change unjust situations. We can use our power and privilege to bring about positive outcomes. This is how peace works. Shalom is in our hands. In John 13, we read a very familiar passage. Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples. He knows that one of his disciples is about to betray him. And yet Jesus offers this disciple the same act of kindness as he does the other disciples, as he kneels and washes each of their feet. In this act, we get a glimpse of reconciliation. Love that humbles oneself, love that offers kindness in the face of betrayal, rejection, and being misunderstood. Love that transcends. This is agape love. Agape is not peace, but it is love that allows peace through compassion, grace, and reconciliation. It's a beautiful example of the reversal of power and a willingness to become vulnerable. It's God's love offered without exception. We have aloha. We've all been welcomed. We've become a community in Ubuntu. We have agape. And now we look to heiwa. Heiwa is a Japanese word that speaks to the balance and smoothness of life. It calls us to make room for another to achieve, to love others as we love ourselves. Taken from John 12. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Finding balance is not an easy task. We're called to receive the grace of God and then to share that grace of God with others. Heiwa is about a balance that brings harmony, a smoothness to life, a smoothness that flows in the giving and the receiving of respect, caring for ourselves and being empowered to care for others. And this can be kind of tricky. If loving ourselves means trying to outdo others and be the best we can be, then our definition is not in line with Scripture. For we are told love is patient and kind. Love is not boastful, nor insistent on its own way. Peacemaking in the spirit of heiwa is finding a balance between receiving God's grace and sharing God's grace with others. And yes, it can be done. This is a phrase coined by Cesar Chavez and his partner Dolores Huerta in 1972. It echoes the struggle of working-class Latinos who were fighting for fair labor conditions, and has been used more recently in marches against the horrible things happening at our borders. Chavez believed in a society that claimed the common humanity of all people. He believed that organizing, marching, protesting, and boycotting could change the reality of those in need. This effort was not carried out through hate or anger, but out of a belief that the nation was capable of doing more for those who had less. Chavez believed that the marginalized had a role to play and a voice to be heard. When people doubted this belief, the movement responded with encouragement saying, si se puede, si se puede, yes, it can be done. Jesus told a parable with a similar message. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. You know the rest of the story. A priest and a Levite both saw this man and passed by on the other side. A Samaritan, one who would not have gotten along with this man, however, took pity on him, bandaged his wounds, took him to an inn, and paid the innkeeper for continued care, saying, "Look after him, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Jesus says, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert of the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." Yes, it can be done. Yes, we can be peacemakers when we welcome others to the table in the spirit of aloha, when we recognize each other as vital members of the body of Christ in the spirit of Ubuntu, and respond to conflict in the spirit of shalom. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, offering kindness and love in the spirit of agape, and he teaches us through scripture and through example the importance of balance, loving others as we love ourselves, and in giving and receiving God's grace in the spirit of hewa. Active peacemaking may require us to get dirty, to do something out of the societal norms, and giving our resources to bring about wholeness for someone else, perhaps even a stranger or a person we're not supposed to be associated with, like the leper that Rick spoke of last week. Doing so in the spirit of si se puede, peace does work. Peace works. We are called to be peacemakers. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God." So where we started, we close. Aloha. It's not only a greeting, but it's also parting words with the blessing of love, of belonging, of the reminder that we do not go alone, for we go with God, and we go in the spirit of Ubuntu as a community. We challenge ourselves, and we challenge the campers to go be instruments of God's peace, for truly, peace does work.